meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And last night's guest, Ron Jeremy. Tonight, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Logical.
Running the gamut.
Sure we are.
And Bill, of course, you know from Bill Nye, the science guy. I don't even know what's that. Was that always on PBS?
It was on PBS for a long time. It started out in syndication for you broadcast historians.
I must say I really enjoyed that show. And I know it was geared toward 9-year-olds, but
it was just right for
it
Adam.
Was perfect. It was right
half
in my
the
wheelhouse.
Viewers were grown-ups, and nominally that would include you.
Interestingly, the LA Unified School District's failed Adam so miserably. Everything he learned, everything, right, would be from talk radio and public television.
Right, and internet porn.
And internet porn.
And of course, yeah, internet porn.
Yeah, I'm so pathetic. Once in a while, I'll flip on Jeopardy, and they'll ask some question, and I'll get the answer. And then they'll ask another one, I'll get that answer, and I'll go, well, buddy, you're really on a roll here. And then they cut to the panel, and it's 9-year-olds, and it's essentially third grade Jeopardy. And this is the same thing would happen with Bill Nye. Like, I'd be sitting there and go, huh, this is for kids. And then I'd go, oh, I didn't know. Ooh, what are those things called? Molecules?
You're making my day.
I really, if anyone learned this, and I know no one I know learned any of this crap, they certainly have forgotten it by the time they hit 30. So going back and watching your show, it was riveting.
Oh, good.
I would watch it all the way through and was very interested in it.
Good.
And you look exactly the same.
Go figure.
Well, let me tell you this. Take this in a bad way, but nerdy guys don't age. They're sort of 37. They're 37 when they're in high school. They're 37 when they're 67. They're
Eat
just
your heart
37.
Up, Eat your heart
it's
out.
Bad. It's not good for a while, but then it gets
well,
good.
Then you got it going on.
Sure, yeah, because
sure,
I mean, I'm looking at Bill's resume here or list of accomplishments, and it's stuff. Yeah, he in 1977, he's working on projects and. You know, I mean, if you look at Bill,
I was alive in 77.
I know,
sure.
But you should have been 11 or something.
Well, I should have been.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 47.
See, that's what I mean. Look at him, brand new.
47. Brand new. Yeah. He will regale you though about the benefits of the pocket protector any moment now.
Oh, really?
I think they're great.
I don't see him sporting one.
Well, you don't need it all the time.
They need to be brought back.
The pocket
well,
protector.
Sure they do. Sure they do.
Yeah,
it's a great thing. You, know, you can't beat. You want to store information? Sure, you got your zip drives. You got your CD rewritables, but you cannot beat a piece of paper and a pen. You got multiple color pens. There you go. You're multimodal.
I like the pen that gave you the four choices with the colors. Like, you needed that. Like, I really need to do this document. This one needs to be drafted in green.
Great.
Yeah, that's an important one.
Well, letters. Letters were in green.
They were?
Yeah. Composition for school being in blue. For English class, it was in black.
I had no idea.
Sure, and then you got to have a pencil.
Oh yeah,
Drew,
you
didn't.
Pencil. You didn't play this game, did you? With the different colors in high school.
No,
but Drew's a scholar himself. So you guys.
Oh yeah.
Pick each other's brains during the commercial, but also what I'm going to talk to you about during the commercial, Bill, is all this aviation stuff.
Oh,
sure.
Adam's into that.
Working on at Boeing.
Yeah.
Working on
yeah.
flaps and stabilizers.
Flaps. They were on horizontal stabilizers. There's a tube. On 747 horizontal stabilizer, hydraulic tube, I kind of think of,
is
tube.
Is the Bill Nye tube?
I kind of think of it as my tube.
It was all the buzz in first class last time I threw the, Gwyneth Paltrow was talking about on her way to JFK, I believe. She wanted to know if the
Bill Nye tube?
Well, she just called it the Nye tube.
The Nye tube, it suppresses a little vibration that you'd have in horizontal stabilizer. It's a Quinky tube, second order differential equation. Not that hard.
Well,
but what did I do? I convinced him it was worth doing. If I got nothing else, if I bring nothing else to the party, it's enthusiasm. Even then.
Bill's new show is called the Eyes of Nye, although shouldn't we call it the Eye of Nye?
Well, I use both eyes.
Right.
So we went plural.
Yeah.
Gives you a 3D view, a stereoscopic perspective.
Yeah. It may be grammatically correct or even correct physiologically, but the Eye of Nye, I think, flows a little better. So we'll
Eye of Nye. Maybe we'll change it on your recommendation.
We'll work on that. Thank you. And then you could name it after, the change after me.
Well, sure we would. There'd be a little asterisk.
It'd be the Corolla Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no, as recommended by Adam. Like that. Yeah.
So we're, and this Eye of Nye, this is on a PBS as well?
Well, that's the hope, but the deal hasn't been made. The deal, can we talk about the deal? We're in H.
We're
in Culver City.
But I know, I'm glad it hasn't been made because I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well, it was started in September.
It'll go on the air.
Yeah, you know, beginning of television season.
Right. And yeah, listen, I've seen PBS.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What's it take to get on the air over there? The
British
accent. Yul Houser's on the air on
British
PBS.
Accent. Oh, sewing is good.
Boy. Your competition is Yul Houser touring a churro factory in Van Nuys.
Dude, no argument.
You're in.
This
you're in.
Is wonderful.
All you got to do is not fall over. Like
that's what you'd think. That's what you'd think. We'll see.
Well,
look,
you're with your track record. He's won Emmys, Drew. Do you
I'm
understand
sure
this?
Sure, yeah.
He's an Emmy Award winner from PBS.
That's a good party.
Be begging
I recommend
for you
that.
To get back.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, they should.
And what about?
You know, I was telling him at the even at Disney World, even the dinosaur ride there.
No.
He and Ellen DeGeneres did this very long sort of movie before you get on the ride. And
really?
My kids thought that was the greatest thing ever.
That was good. That was done in circle vision.
Yeah, circle vision.
Which they claim was Walt Disney himself's vision.
Really?
So between each of the lenses are mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you measure, these guys go out and measure the set very, very accurately so that the mullions, as we say, the vertical lines between the individual screens.
I know what mullions
are. Of course you do.
I've hung French doors.
Of course you have. Yeah, of course you have. Yeah, hung them. And so they line up.
That's a wise guy. Don't start going carpentry with me.
So anyway, they line up, and the effect is quite charming, right? Mm-hmm. You were charmed.
Absolutely.
And they claim it was Walt Disney himself's idea to do this many years ago. And so you got five cameras going at once, six cameras going at once, and they're so loud, you're in there, you can't even hear the other actor. You're standing this close to him.
Because the cameras are so loud?
Yeah, it's funny. You have to lip sync.
Oh, really?
You have to watch the other person's lips.
Wow.
Odd feeling.
Let me yell at Drew for 1 second. Drew, what do you think the chances are of being into the dinosaur ride?
I don't know. It might have been.
Really?
You not been? It's sort of a big event.
It's called the World of Energy.
It's a big thing there at the
Disney. I've never been to Disney.
Ellen's Energy Adventure.
If you'd been to Epcot, you would have gone on this thing.
Yeah. All right.
Experimental Planned Community of Tomorrow.
And what about regular commercial TV?
Sure. I was on Comedy Central doing the old Almost Live thing there for many years.
But they...
The show started out in commercial television. Is that what you're saying? It started
Bill
in syndication.
Nye,
yeah, it was on once a week for a couple of years before we had 65 shows. Then it went into it got stripped, as we say in the biz, 5 nights a week, stripped.
Mm-hmm. And when do you any thoughts of anyone approach you to do daytime TV?
Well, not really. Kinda. You know, I've been on most talk shows that are out of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Name a talk show's out of business. Chevy Chase there. Magic Johnson there. Suzanne Summers there. Okay?
Suzanne Summers. Did we ever do that, Drew?
No, I didn't.
One day,
danced with her. I danced with Suzanne.
Let's put a...
I have an autographed thigh master.
No big deal. You're a genius. You don't
No.
Need, you don't
that's
need
just something that came to me, if I may.
Crap. Listen, we should put together a list of shows that we've been on that are canceled. And we can include our own. Yeah. Yeah, our own.
Oh, we've got
we may
40.
Beat Bill.
Yeah. All right.
It's not something I want to win, but I guess I'll take you on.
You done Keenan?
That
could be one for us.
Yeah.
Home team?
Home team, Terry Bradshaw.
Home team, yes.
Oh!
Lisa.
Lisa, yeah.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell, what?
Yes.
Yeah, we did Rosie. No, we did Roseanne.
Roseanne I never did. Rosie, yes.
Producer Ann, the world's
House
greatest
party.
Producer. She's saying in my ears, the one show we haven't done. Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell. I'm like, huh?
Rosie was charming. It was fun.
Drew, we may have to dig deep into our bag.
Well, you know, careful
shows.
What you wish for.
How about Vibe?
No.
Yeah, see? The blacks don't like Bill Nye.
Hey, you know what was cool? I was on the Magic Johnson show with Lionel Richie and Chris Rock before he was a giant.
All black guys.
And then me. It was funny.
That is funny.
It was cool.
All right. Derek? So we're about
Bill's
even.
Bill's got a little Dr. Bruce
shows.
In him, doesn't he?
Yeah. All nerds have a little Dr. Bruce in them. But, again, that's not a bad thing.
No, of course it isn't.
True. Drew, it's always the over
he's
under.
The coffee again.
See how long it takes a coffee mug to make contact with the microphone.
Talk about brain function. It's like everything has to stop when there's this sound.
That's
a takes all kinds. Geniuses, takes all kinds. You already said. I'm trying to bring that back.
The all kinds
it
thing.
It takes all kinds.
You're three sigma.
You could do that. You could help me bring
can
back
I say three sigma, Dr. Drew?
No, what does that mean?
You know, standard deviation.
Oh, three sigma. Yes,
97.3.
He's a big boy.
Five sigma. Yeah.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Yeah, he's way outside the box.
If you guys out there in the non-scientific, non-engineering community, if you knew how funny it was to
three
say
sigma.
Adam is three sigma, that is comedy.
Yeah, not a married guy, huh? No, how the ladies treating you?
Oh, that's good.
It's good?
We're good.
All right, buddy. Derek?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm Bill Nye the Science Guy's biggest fan in the world.
Oh, Derek,
I used to
greetings.
I watched this man when I was 9 years old.
Right on, man.
He's the reason I want to become a scientist, even though I can't pass science class. I still want to become a scientist.
You might be able to if you applied yourself, Derek.
Yeah, but it's hard because y'all learn molecules and...
We're all made of molecules. It's no mystery.
So what? That doesn't mean you know molecules.
He's just making him feel good.
I know, but stop trying to make our listeners feel good. You need to beat up on him.
All right, Derek, you suck for not being good at science.
That's
but
right.
What's your question?
Go, Bill.
He just wants to know how to be you. Right? Derek?
Yeah.
Oh, Bill, he's devastated.
You want to know how to be me?
I want to know how to become Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Well, speaking for myself personally, I combined a love of science, which I got pretty much before I can remember, with a desire to be funny. And I know what you're saying, but looks aren't everything. So
I think
work
you hurt
hard.
Your own case there.
Yeah, you work hard at science, and you work hard at writing jokes. I'm not kidding. It's really interesting to try to write a joke.
Well, you got Adams here on this.
Yeah,
it takes smart people to go six
seconds and remember that a joke not only has a punchline, it has what's called a punch word. Punch word.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're interested in it, give it a shot because there's nothing cooler than becoming. Ask Drew. There's nothing cooler than becoming a scientist because every day there's something new. Every day there's something cool.
Yeah.
So go for it, man.
Hey, Derek.
Give me the ball.
Yeah.
Take over.
You got a good joke or a theorem?
No.
All right, buddy. You smoking a lot of weed?
That'll work against you, Derek.
That'll work against you.
All right.
Hey,
all right.
I tell you what, it messes up your short-term memory at least. This is anecdotally. Now, Drew, you know more about it than
I do. That's not anecdotally. That has been shown categorically to be the case. What's anecdotal or not thoroughly proven is whether or not it alters frontal lobe function and alters...
Derek, it alters frontal lobe function.
Let me say this on behalf of all the Heshers, though. It does bring out the scientist in everyone when you're trying to form a pipe.
That's the engineer.
Sort of the MacGyver meets scientist.
Yeah.
You have nothing but a spent toilet paper roll, some foil from some gum... maybe an apple, and you got to get a hit of weed.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying, Bill?
I don't quite. I watch these guys. I used to be.
My friends I've
living with, and man, it's bad for you. It's got to be bad for you. Whoa.
We lived with a bunch of Heshers.
Really?
In college?
Well, yeah, in college.
Of course.
Yeah. The dog's name was Ganja.
Yeah.
Really?
Excuse me.
They played reggae all day.
Yeah.
Reggae music.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go to college?
Cornell.
And and heard that one. And you were. You weren't in a fraternity.
No, but you know, you live in a house with a bunch of people. Yeah.
Oh man,
it's got to be bad for you.
Oh, here comes Narc Bill and his bow tie.
Hey, hide
the weed, everybody.
No, they let him go.
He's gonna bum your high.
But
I did
not
nerds.
I also not crazy for the smell. Not crazy for it.
All right, bud. What about you? Like shotgun a beer every once in a while?
No comment.
You like a little drinking. Turns out booze not too bad. Boy, I really hit my booze. I really, you know those. How do you know when you're an alcoholic? Things.
Yeah, the tests.
Yeah,
the ones you always get 10 out of 10 on.
Yeah, I got home and then eventually get angry and attack the magazine viciously.
Chew it up,
page. Throwing it around.
Throw this out, I'll be fine. I'll have no symptoms.
Here's what I did last night. I got home. I drink a little red wine before I go to bed at night.
I'll translate. Bottle of red wine.
I drink that too. Two or three glasses, you know?
Two or three.
Two or three.
Bomb.
I like to, that's how I unwind.
Highball glasses.
Highballs. And tumblers. And I do that every night. Okay.
The aluminum milkshake cup. The I drink thing that goes
and,
on
and,
the,
and every morning. Keep going.
I drink one of those cartons of white wine, six-liter nice. Carton. So I come home last night and there ain't nothing there.
Ooh.
So I
so
think,
you attack the magazine.
So I think I gotta get myself. I got a little buzz going here. So I go, I'll make myself a highball. I'll make a little vodka drink.
The same vodka you were swigged out of to go to sleep the other night.
Gee whiz.
Could be another bottle. Could be a new
you
bottle.
You finished that one.
Could and be. All this doesn't hurt you.
Well, you got that
part. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm a heavyweight, Bill.
Yeah, heavyweight.
So I make a little vodka drink, but there's really just a splash of vodka on the bottom of the thing. There's no vodka left.
8 ounces.
Yeah. I make a little vodka drink, and I drink that down, and now it's like, it's getting near 1 o'clock. But I got another hour of, Iraq coverage to watch. So I said, I need a drink, and I look around. I got nothing but Sambuca. Sambuca
licorice
is like this liqueur, like this licorice liqueur that has the this consistency of like a liquid mercury,
syrup,
really.
11 more ounces.
And so here I am drinking a tumbler of licorice Sambuca. I mean, it was
three tumblers.
Really a point where I should have just shot some NyQuil down and then hit myself on the head with a shoe.
NyQuil follow.
Yeah. So, Sambuca.
A NyQuil follow, that's like a chaser?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sambuca last night, everybody.
Desperation.
Right. So, Drew, seriously, what is frontal lobe function? Help me.
Frontal lobe, particularly the right frontal lobe, is the part of the brain that negotiates emotional regulation and emotional integration. So when you're growing through adolescence, that's the part of the brain that's really growing. You're negotiating social skills and how to develop a sense of self. And so
is your brain growing, adding cells?
Absolutely. It's actually growing. And they've shown arrest of that growth in even moderate pot smokers around the age of 15. It's not theoretic yet, it's not proven, but the data is starting to come in.
Boy, it sure seems like it.
Yeah, now the question is, if they were to stop smoking at 17, would they catch up and be normal? That hasn't been studied yet.
But, more than the physiological stuff, it just kind of yanks you off the field. It's like somebody parking you in the garage for a couple of years. You know, you're not in the game. I mean, what part of life, especially if you liken it to a sport, can you just take 3 years off and go right back out and be on your game? Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's golf or football or studying or work or whatever it is. You get sort of, you get yanked off the court and sat on the bench for a few years. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get back into the game sometimes.
That's the point.
Thank you.
Now, what was the second word you said?
But Sambuca. That's different. That's rocket fuel, my friend.
Integration? What's integrating?
Integrating like being able to pull top-down information from the social world and bottom-up information from the somatic experiences. And
somatic having to do with your body.
Be able to integrate and regulate those experiences.
All right, Bill, stop learning, please. Parker, it's obnoxious when you learn. Parker, you're 15.
Hey, guys.
Say it was going to be easy tonight, Bill.
No. Hey, it's just
he's
just
funny, though. See?
Yeah.
Take notes.
Cracks me up. The guy cracks me up.
All right, I'm here. Parker?
I love you, Adam.
Good times.
All right. My question is, actually I have a question for Dr. Drew and something I'm curious about. My boyfriend wants to have anal sex, and I want to know, like, the dangers and preps and spots, everything like that, so.
And you're 15. Accurate?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 15.
15.
Yeah, well,
there's a study we got to do with Bill Preston.
She thought you were calling her accurate, like it was her name.
Yeah.
You're 15?
Accurate?
Yeah.
Like Shelley.
No, not Shelley.
Okay, how old is he?
He's 16.
16. Are you guys bored with sex?
No.
How old's the guy? He's got to be 21.
No, he's 16.
No, he's 16. He just has a total ass fetish.
That's nice.
All right. So risks, sexually transmitted diseases, obviously, so you should really plan on using a condom. And
you should more than plan.
Yes, you should categorically use them. But our callers, they get defensive if you tell them what to do. You can tear that area. You can cause fistulas and hemorrhoids and things like that. Things happen. So you have to be very careful.
Yeah.
It's not something you want to do.
Doesn't sound like
you're
that into it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well,
yeah, but listen, once in a while someone talks about food, like whenever it talks about eating brains, I've never eaten brains.
I know
I'm not into it. I just know I can taste it. I don't want it.
How about haggis?
I don't want haggis.
Haggis tastes like Taco Bell.
That tripe, haggis, all that stuff. I know I'm not into it before I do it. Don't you get that feeling about your ass, Parker?
Well,
isn't your ass sort of haggis?
Before.
What?
He fingered me before, and I didn't. I didn't mind it. I mean, all I right. liked it. I don't know.
He put his finger down.
How's the relationship going with him? Okay.
Okay.
Wait, is the relationship going all right?
Yeah.
And why?
Been out for like 7 months.
And
so.
Were you? You've been sort of chaotic life growing up, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess I don't. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you need high levels of stimulation or to feel sort of aroused and sexual.
Yeah.
Hey. Were you physically abused growing up?
I don't know. It depends on your definition.
Somebody hit you. Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's why you sort of need this high level of arousal and stimulation in order to even feel good, okay. feel sexual. And that's not exactly...
I'm a cutter.
You're a cutter. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this is more of that kind of self, potentially part of the harming the self impulse.
All right.
Okay.
So be careful. I mean, look, listen, you've got a lot of stuff to work on. Are you in treatment?
Yeah.
All right. Talk to your therapist about these choices, all right?
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right, and so I have something I'm curious about, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So the first time I had an orgasm, I was about 9.
Mm-mm. Were you sexually abused?
I don't know.
You think?
Nothing I remember.
Was there a lot of just... I mean, was it really chaotic in your household? Do you have drug addict parents?
No.
All right, go ahead.
And so... I used to masturbate, like, a lot, because I was homeschooled for a while, and I used to masturbate, like, 11 times a day.
Mm.
I used to masturbate a lot, so I don't know, does that mean I'm, like, sexually addicted and I'm bipolar?
Yeah, it could just be your bipolarity. People, when they're manic, hypomanic, they'll get like that.
Yeah, wait, did she ask if she was bipolar?
She said, I am bipolar.
No, I thought you were asking if you were.
If she has to ask. She is bipolar.
Have you been diagnosed?
Yes, I have.
Oh, all right.
Medication and everything.
Okay, so that's probably what that is.
Although, to pick up that heavy a pace at 9 usually is sexual abuse.
I was at 11 when I was 9.
11 times a day?
Yeah. I moved up to, I added one a year. Well, until now, I'm 38.
There you go.
Do you know?
49 times a day.
Yeah. My rule, if I have a daughter, is no ass play until 15 and a half, young lady. That's my thing.
You're going to start indoctrinating her when she's 3?
Of course.
When you're 15?
Yeah.
No ass play.
No, 15 and a half.
15 and a half.
15 and a half. That's right. When you get your learner's permit, then
we'll talk.
Then we can talk. Then we can talk. All right. Bill Nye, the science guy here, everybody.
Thank you.
We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Bill's going to get a boner. Please, Anderson, no more. We'll speak to Jennifer, who's 19, has got a question for Bill. Wants to know about Beatman's World. Is that Beatman's World?
Beatman's World.
Yeah. All I do is get erroneous information fed to me in this goddamn
show. Yell during
the
break. Here we go.
All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew's going to be in the room in 1 second. He's on the phone. I'm giving a little consultation to a friend of mine. Needs his advice, so he's doing the Lord's work over there. Bill Nye is here tonight, the science guy. And, Bill, you don't mind the science guy.
Cookie for it.
Yeah, really?
It rhymes, you know.
Yeah. Where do you live?
Well, I live in Santa Monica and Seattle.
Mm-hmm. You like Seattle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful.
So did you go to, let's trace Bill Nye's.
Oh, we got nothing but time.
Right. Bill's in Cornell, not smoking pot.
No.
And Bill graduates with an engineering degree?
Engineering, yeah.
And then Bill goes to Seattle to work for Boeing?
For Boeing, yes, sir.
And Bill and the cameraman knocks the door over.
Well, not all the way over. Yeah.
All right. So... You go to Boeing in the mid-70s,
late
later 70s.
Let's call it later 70s.
Later 70s. And you go to work. What's your first assignment?
Nose wheel steering on 747. You got to have a priority valve. Was the priority valve sticking?
Mm-hmm.
Or had a wine bottle rolled under the rudder pedal on Air France?
Uh-huh.
So went right off the end of the runway, didn't steer.
Oh, my God.
And now the 747 is been around
big plane,
but in 77 the 747's been around for 10 years,
about
right?
10 years, yeah.
And now you're there on a project that's been built, but you're trying to improve it.
Yeah, analysis we called it back in the day. Analysis.
So you're down, and you don't have a whole bunch of computers at this point, do you?
We had a computer that could take up to 40 lines of BASIC.
Fortran.
Well, Fortran 7 was around, but that was being supplanted by PLC, and Boeing had its own software. But the thing was, you'd use the way to get hydraulic problems done in those days was in BASIC and on a drawing board, a layout, so-called.
What's in BASIC mean?
BASIC is a program. That's sequential. It doesn't compile. Doesn't link. Just goes from line to line.
And what would you say? And I don't know if you have an answer to this, but the
seven
computer. You're right. The computer you're screwing around with. I mean, today's laptops.
Oh, my watch has got 100 times the capability. And the storage medium was cassette tape, audio cassette tape.
Oh,
which
really?
Was cool, man. You could put it in the company mail and, like, send it
to
another guy.
As opposed to being reel-to-reel.
That's right, yeah, sure.
Wow, yeah.
I entered engineering school with a slide rule.
Wow.
I was graduated with a calculator. Still pretty quick on a slide rule. Still pretty quick.
And I use a slide rule to scratch myself. Really, that's the only thing.
They're good for that too.
Never
owned
a slide rule.
You should align them after you use them.
True. Did you ever own a slide rule?
Briefly.
What happened?
I have a small collection.
Went to the computer.
Yeah, all right. Collection. So you're at Boeing, and you're working as a mechanical engineer there.
Yeah.
And you're there for how long?
3 years.
For 3 years, and then
I went home at night.
They let you go home
at
night.
Yeah, they encouraged it, actually.
And you're there for 3 years, and then what? Now it's 1980.
Went to work at a shipyard.
Oh, really?
Working on, I wanted to do something groovy, something politically important.
Right.
So I worked on oil slick skimming, and the seemingly trivial task of separating oil and water. In the oil field, which isn't that easy. The water's dirty and oil sticks to it and so on. But in the meantime, of course, like so many engineers, I was doing stand-up comedy at night.
You bring this up, but it's like there's certain professions, like ironically rabbi. Those guys always have schmaltzy, horrible senses of humor. Those guys are hacks. I don't know what it is.
But they should have good senses of humor.
Engineers, it should be better, yeah. But engineers do they do have their own kind of humor. I mean, they're smart guys, but there's other smart guys that don't lean toward humor. I don't. Have you figured out what it is about engineers?
The guys I used to work with, I thought were very funny. Guys I thought were they were in on the joke. You gotta be. You gotta have a sense of humor about things, or what? You'd explode.
Yeah, but engineers seem to have it more than other serious professions.
That's right on.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Drew? Except for my stepdad is an engineer. I get to jump on the guy
to
get a word out of him.
They go either way. They go either way, kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to jump. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Right. All right. So now you're working on your comedy.
Sure, I was.
And you're also working on taking the oil off of water after.
Yeah.
After.
Left there. That job was not. Was not precise enough.
Right.
These guys who just weld things together by eye didn't appeal. I wanted to get back into the math. Wanted to do the numbers. So I went to another company, Sunstrand, working on business jet navigation.
Now, you mean business jet, like Learjets kind of thing?
Yeah, Learjets.
And the navigation systems that are in them?
Yes, back before we had global positioning.
Yeah.
Yes, it was inertial, and we liked it.
And now how do you do navigation on
it? You have gyroscopes that are so accurate, you point them one way and you trust them, and you just fly that way.
Wow.
Now, these gyroscopes did not have spinning wheels.
Oh, they didn't?
No, they had spinning beams of light. They're laser gyros. Oh, Dr. Drew's looking at me with incredulity.
Wow, interesting.
So it's quite a charming thing. You have a block of glass that is thermally happy. It doesn't expand or contract very much. And then you have a beam of light going through it from mirror to mirror. And you may not have thought about this, but the beams of light stay in one plane, one orientation in so-called inertial space. Then as you turn the airplane, you're rotating around these beams of light.
Right.
And what happens in a circle of light, there's called ring laser gyros. What happens in the circle or a polygon, corner to corner to corner, you end up with two counter-rotating beams. They go against each other. That's the only stable configuration. Any beam that's not going along that axis goes off into space and gets absorbed, and it glows pink. It's quite cool looking. It's very science fiction looking thing. It's hard to believe it even works. And then you fly the plane around in any orientation. There's all this kooky math you got to do to convert the orientation of the inertial beams back to the orientation of the plane. But it can be done. And in those days, The computers were not quite fast enough to do it fast as the plane was going.
Wow.
And it was a hassle. It was really weird. If you look back, you know, that kind of computation could be done
by that
guy, what was his name, Derek?
Derek could have done it.
On pot, he could do it, yeah.
I'm brought back to 1976 with Bill laying the same spiel out, buddies in front of the TV set, and stone roommates are like, Bill, McMillan and Wife are on, dude. Why don't you take your gyros?
Lost on the younger viewer.
Take your gyros and head them toward the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Get your ass out in front of the TV set. All right. So now, all right. We'll get into more of this
as we
go along. But I'm very interested in this.
That's charming.
And you know, there's a lot of people. Let me just say this.
Please.
You idiots out there, you should all have an interest in things you don't know.
Mm.
You really should. Like, there's people who are Democrats, and they only want to listen to sort of people with a left-wing bend. And there's other people that are Republicans, they only want to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Or they're not. They're just, you know, Bill's talking about mechanical engineering. I'm not a mechanical engineer, so therefore I shouldn't be interested. No, you should be more interested. The stuff you know about, you should be less interested about because you already know it.
Everybody has more of an interest in it than you realize. Everybody drives cars. It's all mechanical engineering.
Yeah, it's not an interest. Jennifer.
Oh, yo, what's
this up? This is your same logic. People know molecules because we're all made of molecules.
Well, you should have an interest. I was trying to support
your
point.
Cars are made of molecules, too, right?
Heck yeah.
Jennifer. Right, all right, so we should all know? Jennifer, you're 19.
Yeah. Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew. Bill. I'm, like, so in love with you. I'm, like, a hardcore fan. Before I even asked my question, I was wondering if there's any way I could get your autograph.
Go to my website, BillNye.com. Explain who you are, and I will do my best to send you my autograph.
Okay.
You'll see there's a message to Bill thing. I do them usually on Mondays, but we don't get to them every, you know, so let's say once a month. We'll get to it.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, no, Jennifer, it is I who must thank you. Now, your question.
Okay. My question is, since I think you're so gangster, seriously, you're OG, since you're the first...
He is OG, isn't he?
I am OG.
That's the first thing I thought when I met him.
Second G.
That's old geek, by the way.
Well, my question was, like, since you were the first scientist on TV that I seen, and then all of a sudden other scientists started popping out, like Beekman's World, I was wondering if you ever...
All right, hold on. It's Beekman.
It's Beekman, like the beak of the little penguins there.
Yeah, he would have this, like...
No, hold on, you're wrong. Stop
Beekman
saying Beekman.
Actually was
you're
on
screwing
first.
Everybody up.
Beekman's World.
Beekman was before Bill Nye.
Yeah, by a few months.
Oh, Bill ripped off Beekman.
Well,
Bill just did it better.
Well, they approached me about writing for that show, and I talked to the guy on the phone, and it became clear to both of us that I really didn't want to write for his show. I wanted to kind of have my own show. And the thing that set... We can talk about Beekman's World all the time, but we are like-minded individuals. I would see him at these events, and we share the vision. Lead on, Jennifer.
Okay, that was just my question right there. Have you ever had, like, any friction with him or anything?
No.
We're competing, you know, against each other.
One time on the radio, though, somebody called and asked the perfect question. We were on, you've heard of it. It's another radio sort of network. National Public Radio. That's what they call it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And and so I was on there with the guy who plays Beekman on the show. Played Beekman on the show, and somebody called and asked the perfect question: why is science education so important? And he said, "Can I take that question?" Like he stole my thunder.
Yeah.
But that's just playing good ball. I have no. That was a good move on his part.
Is he as good a scientist as you are?
He's an actor, and he's okay. But he's not.
Okay.
He's not.
Okay.
I think
Bad
that
boy.
With all due respect. No. With all due respect. When he would read from teleprompter, and you can tell. And I would write all the stuff that I say, and you could tell. No. Learn it and do it.
I'm just yanking
it. After you write it. You write it, learn it, and do it.
Yeah. All right. So.
Lead on. Jennifer, that's your question?
She's done.
All right. Jennifer, keep up the good work.
Oh, forget
her. See
you
down the road.
Beekman, please. Jameson?
Yes.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
Lately, I've been having these dreams of... like me smoking pot, and I've been clean for 3 months now.
Well, using dreams are absolutely routine. Anyone who's been addicted to a drug and stops will have using dreams. It's your brain really craving the drug. That's the feeling you have. You want to be using. You want it so badly. And with certain drugs, they're so powerfully reinforcing, you will wake up with all the physiologic effects of having used. Cocaine being the best example of that.
Right.
You wake up, heart rate up, the sort of skin tone up, sweaty, lips numb if you dream, your nose numb.
Really?
Yeah.
And what causes that? Your brain is reacting with it?
It just wants the drug. It's just thinking about it, preoccupying about it, just the way somebody might have a sexual dream, any other kind of drive that
Can't imagine.
Some people have those. Adam, as you know, 49 times a day, never has an opportunity for that kind of thing.
I didn't have time.
No.
How dare both of you.
So anyway, lead on. So apparently, dude, it's not that uncommon.
But I'll tell you what, it doesn't sound like you're in a program, because if you were, people would tell you that everyone has that.
Well, I was in the program, and I didn't really bring it up. It just started recently about.
All right, well, tell your sponsor about it then.
I don't have a sponsor.
All right, like I said, you're not in the program.
No, it was called Cannabis Youth Treatment. It was a probation program.
All right. Well, then I'm sure they talked to you about 12-step recovery and about the importance of getting involved with that, right?
I guess it was a 12-step kind of.
All right. So go ahead and go to MA and get a sponsor. Without working with a sponsor, you aren't going to get better. And these feelings are going to eventually overwhelm you. They really don't settle down. They get worse with time.
True. Nobody wants to use a sponsor. You're always preaching about the sponsor.
Yeah, because that's where the work has to get done, and people avoid it. They don't want to deal with it.
All right. Bill Nye, the science guy.
Takes a year, though, right?
Takes a good year.
At least a year. All right. Bill
is here with us. We're going to take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bill Nye, the science guy, is in here tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bill, a breath of fresh air. I normally don't have people with more than a junior college education inhabit that seat you're in, Bill, but that's nice to have some brains.
I can feel it sucking it out of me.
You feeling yourself getting dumber by the moment?
Uh-huh.
See? Yeah. Bill is working on a new show.
Yep. That's the Eyes of Nye.
Right.
The Eye of Nye.
But the Eyes of Nye, the way you say it, it actually rolled off pretty good.
Yeah, better okay. Alliteration there. Yeah.
Plus, when you see the graphic, it's no question, I have two eyes.
And this show's going to go back onto PBS.
That's the plan.
And it's going to go in September?
Yes, yes.
And what Bill has been doing, now this is not a kid's show.
Nope. In fact, one of the shows is about addiction.
And that's where Dr. Drew comes in.
He's a star.
He's strung out on glue, and you're trying to watch him.
I think it was glue. You can't tell.
You're a heroin addict.
I'm not as experienced as you guys.
It was gasoline.
And they're following Drew around and seeing how he operates and his patients and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So this is going to be a nighttime show.
Nominally, what you call access.
But is it going to be...
Is this 20 questions?
My book will be out there. You got to plug my book.
Heck, yeah, sure. You plug your book. Yeah, hit me the ball. Oh, by the way, I got a new book out.
You do?
About dinosaurs.
Nice,
go on.
Nice plug for Drew's book, by the way.
We'll get Drew's book out.
You got a book about dinosaurs?
Mm-hmm. Here it is. Is this it?
Yeah.
Any revelations in here?
Well, just birds or dinosaurs. But when you look at modern birds, we're looking at direct descendants of ancient dinosaurs. And you say, why bother? Why bother figuring that out? Who cares?
Yeah, that's I was thinking that. I wasn't studying.
The more you study these ancient animals, the more you learn about modern ecosystems.
Who cares?
Yes. Now, Bill,
that was a recording.
Speaking of books or birds, let me tell you my idea I had the other day.
Uh huh.
And you tell me if you think this is feasible scientifically.
Okay, sure, sure.
I was thinking about, first off, birds are mean. People don't know how mean birds are.
Yeah, heck, yes, they are.
People like birds.
Some birds, yeah.
People are like, oh, it's a bird. They're good looking. They're great, you know. But you think about birds for a second.
They'll come after you. See the movie? Where have you been?
We're going back to a crow discussion here, I believe.
Yeah, crows are aggressive, man.
Okay.
Smart.
They'll take you out.
Here's my plan. People have
birds. Your eyes
I have friends that birds make the world's worst pets, by the way. People have birds for 10 years. They go in to put their hand in to get them to sit on.
Bird bites them.
Bird bites them.
Heck yeah.
And then crafts.
You know what they got? They got a bird brain, okay?
They got no brains.
Okay, so deal.
I worked at a gym.
Good eyesight.
I work at a gym that had a macaw. This thing's the world's scariest parrot, these macaws. And first thing, this macaw would just let out these screams for no good reason. Yeah, but 10 of those. You'd crap yourself. Also, here's what this macaw used to like to do. It used to like to, this gym had a boxing ring. And I'd be in the boxing ring, and I'd be training with somebody, and this macaw would get off its perch, would walk all the way across the gym, and it would crawl up the ring. It would crawl up the ropes.
Onto the turnbuckle.
Onto the top turnbuckle. Then it would walk all the way around, and it would go to my little plastic stopwatch that I was using, and it would put its beak right through it and smash it. Mm-hmm. And it did this to three stopwatches of mine, by the way.
But
you're wearing gloves,
mean-spirited
right?
Just curious, when you saw it, for the 20 minutes it took to get around the outside of the ring, why didn't you stop it from going over to the stopwatch?
Here's what would happen every time. I would see the bird walking toward the ring, and I would say, all right, I got 10 minutes. It's going to take this bird a little while, and then I would get in my thing. And then I would see it get up on the turnbuckle, and I would think, all right, I got about 2 minutes here. Let me just finish the round out. And then I would turn around to the cracking sound of my... Whatever. Anyway, and eventually I started leaving a decoy stopwatch out for the thing, the one that it broke before. But
did it work? Was that effective?
No, it would just go. It knew the one that didn't work and would go after the one that worked. Birds are mean. So here's my plan.
No question.
I had this plan a couple of weeks ago. I started studying crows and realizing how territorial they are and how mean they are and how whenever a bird flies in their airspace, a whole gang of them jump. They're like flying Crips is what they are. They're
a black
gang. They just go after anyone in their turf. And then I thought, you know, I see these dolphins the military uses and the seals and the dogs at the airport. Let's start using crows for law enforcement. Let's have attack crows.
Well,
somebody was telling me that these things had big brains.
I don't know how trainable they are. They're kind of ornery.
Somebody was saying...
You let us know how that goes.
Somebody was saying that crows had a brain weight to body weight ratio that was second only to us, which I know they don't weigh much,
skeptical.
So it doesn't take much.
Well, you know.
But then someone called in and said they were one of the top creatures in terms of
knowledge or something.
Well, their ability.
Knowledge.
Well, I mean, their ability.
Knowledge,
ability to behavioral.
They're crafty.
Yeah, crafty. Yeah.
They're crafty. They'll pick up a bug and drop it so it cracks on the ground
and then go down and eat it and stuff
like that. All right, so. We train these crows, okay?
Yes.
And then when there's some standoff situation
like this a-hole that's
sitting on a tractor in a fountain somewhere for 2 days, unleash the crows.
Yeah.
The crows can converge on this guy. Everyone runs when crows come at him,
by the way. Yeah, you saw Tippi Hedren.
Yeah, I don't care if you're... She was in the movie The Crows. I don't care if you're...
No, the bird. I think it was
the
seagulls in that case, but that's all right.
All right, close. I don't care if you're holding a shotgun... A bunch of crows come at you, throw your gun and run.
Yeah, you do.
Hostage situation.
I love it.
Send out the crows.
Yes.
People start...
Send in the crows.
People giving up just at the threat of the crows. When they see the crow van pull up, it's like, oh, I'm turning myself in.
It's over. Oh, by the way...
I believe we could train crows.
All right.
Okay, just the way... It's the way we do with dogs to sniff out gunpowder or
drugs.
I'll get
some falconers to...
Yeah,
they're not bad, but crows scarier than falcons.
Oh, God, hell yes.
Making
heavens.
That noise.
Then by the stars.
Surveillance crows.
Oh, man.
Buzzing around.
You know,
I see the crow's van with the O with a sight in it across here.
Yes,
in the middle of the O.
That's right. That's good,
yes,
Drew.
Yes,
yeah.
Good. And it'll be crow response.
Yeah, we
overwhelming.
Some kind of acronym that spelled what
crows,
they were at.
Crows.
Yeah, which I always find ridiculous because let's just call the goddamn things crows. That's what they are in the first place. But
Special weapons assault team.
Right. Then we spin off into a series. I'm the crow command leader. All right, we'll work all this
You play
out.
By your own rules.
That's
the crow's
right.
Rules, the crow's rules.
No, the crows play by their own rules.
Okay.
We'll work this out. But...
In
but
a word.
What do you think about my attack crow idea?
It's all right.
As a man of science.
It's
just
all right.
Right.
I think
just
you might
right.
have some problems managing them.
It would be a better idea if it was your idea.
You'd have to run out. Just getting them to do your bidding, I think you'll find
I
pretty
think
challenging.
We overcome that hurdle.
Okay.
If we overcome that hurdle,
with
then
what?
We're talking.
With drugs. Crow drugs.
Ooh, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There you go. Okay.
All right. So, Bill's got stuff to talk about, but I don't care because we got to take one call this
Let's
break.
Do that.
And then, you know, we go to commercial. I talk to him more about crows. Jameson?
Yes.
Wait a minute. We talked to Jameson.
Oh, beg your pardon.
All right. You got to get a sponsor, buddy. I mean, I got to get a sponsor for this crow idea.
Yeah, yeah. The Navy.
Yeah.
It goes easy.
Andrew?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yep.
What's up?
Yeah, I have a question for Drew.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know if it's true because I was talking to my friend the other day. And he told me that he was, like, with this girl, and she said that she was more hornier when she's on her period. And I just want to know if that's true, that some girls are more hornier.
Some women are, and it's primarily the influence of estrogen late in their cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Some women feel that way late in the pregnancy too, again, because of the congestion down there and also the, again, high levels of progesterone. Some women are shut down by progesterone, so it makes things worse that time. But humans are one of the only mammals that don't have estrus.
They don't have a time when they're ready to reproduce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the evolutionary mysteries is why would you have this thing set up where people don't, where a woman doesn't know whether or not she's pregnant.
Or can get, could possibly
become pregnant.
Right, right, right. Well, and so doesn't know when she's going to become pregnant, right, and so on. And it's generally agreed right now, right, that it's part of the subterfuge that makes soap operas. You want to optimize, the woman wants to optimize her choices of getting the best mate. Yeah.
Bill.
The mystery is what makes the world go around.
Be honest, please.
Yeah.
You have used your degree, your experience, your engineering to try to build a woman in your basement. Have you not?
No.
Have you not?
The movie Weird Science was originally called The Bill Nye Story.
I believe that all super smart guys at one point or another dreamed of building a woman that they could keep in the basement.
No. It's way too complicated.
Yeah, but Bill actually could.
I wrote a comedy.
No, you didn't hear what he said? It's the exact opposite. You thought about doing it. He realized it was too complicated, gave up immediately.
But there wasn't some point where you needed like 80 feet of fallopian tubing down in your basement with ratchets and things.
No.
Your cameraman losing his ass.
Well, the thing of it, you know, that just to look at the take a watch apart. Look how complicated that is.
Yeah.
That's not even one cell.
Oh, man.
It's not even your Golgi apparatus.
Forget about taking it apart. Try to hump it.
Oh, for God's sake.
See, that's where you and I are different.
Hold on. Yeah. All right. We'll pick that up when we get back.
After this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bill Nye, the science guy in here. The multi-Emmy award-winning Bill Nye. That's Drew hacking in the background. And when we left off, were we selling anybody before we went to break?
There was something about you guys were entering into a discussion about,
well,
as far as I can go.
Bill was jealous of my crow idea, and I think that's where we left off.
Broke
he was
my
angry.
Heart. Yeah.
Yep.
He stole it.
Yeah.
Scooped him.
The programmed, the drugged crows that would attack the bad guys. Yeah.
Don't you think, though, we can train most animals just through using food, you know, pretty much. You know, I figured we could do that.
But I think you'll find crows are especially ornery. You let us know.
But that's why I want them for the mission.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah. Well, so imagine training spiders.
Yeah.
Insects are a little different.
Well, yeah. That's not an insect, but it's challenging.
No, it would
and it's
be,
comforting to think, speaking of Loveline.
Yeah.
Okay, you look at a crow's brain, it's pretty small, right?
Right.
Consider a spider's brain.
Yeah.
Right.
Or a dragonfly. They're microscopic.
Are they?
And yet they conduct their lives, they have sex, they carry on, they produce more spiders, more dragonflies. All this other stuff we got is just...
So much
it's just
epilogue.
So much extra stuff just to compete with each other. It makes you crazy out there, I'm telling you.
Hey, still thinking about building that woman, though. Silk, did you? You called a couple days ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have a few questions for Mr. Bill Nye.
Yeah, Silk.
All right. Well, my first one is, what are the problems in traveling through outer space?
So, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have access to a computer?
Yeah.
A television?
Yeah.
So, the problem with space is it's a vacuum. So you have to take your own air. Now, it's like a camping trip, a complicated camping trip. You can't go back to get anything that you've forgotten.
Right.
And as you may know, getting back from outer space into the Earth can be very difficult. You know, we just blew up a space shuttle. Is that what you're really asking me? It's a vacuum. There's no air. So that's the first thing you got to deal with. Then the sunlight's hot. Sunlight. When you're in the dark, it's cold. It's just a hassle, man. But compared to going to the bottom of the ocean, I must tell you, much easier.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's much easier. Yeah. Get a pair of binoculars. You're exploring the surface of the moon. Go to the, you know, even rudimentary depths, 10 feet down, you drown.
What? It could turn into a Shelley
Berman. 10 feet. I meant
3 meters.
I was kidding.
All right. Yeah. You should be talking in terms of meters. I'm sure you stay with the CCs. I'm going to go with the Smurfs ass hairs as units of measurement.
Shocking.
But that's how you measure in construction. So.
Smurfs ass hairs, okay.
Well, it's usually a sea hair.
I know, sea hair. I used to work in a machine shop. Familiar.
Guys like that. But let's talk about the exploration of the ocean. what percentage, I don't mean what percentage have we canvassed or covered, but is there a bunch of stuff that we don't know that's going on out there?
Yeah, you see, one of the things with global climate change, people say, is the Earth going to get colder or warmer? Is the Earth going to get more stormy or less stormy? Is what we're going to have. In the Eocene period, you know, we had palm trees in what's now British Columbia. So are we going to have that same situation? And all that heat that comes from the sun and will be trapped in the Earth's atmosphere is regulated by what, Adam?
The ocean.
Yes, bing,
the crows.
Bing, bing.
My brilliant crows, my pretties.
And so, for example, if the Gulf Stream were to stop, mm-hmm. which has been speculated by certain climate scientists.
Oh, really?
If the Gulf Stream were to stop streaming, mm-hmm. Europe would be cold and icy and
good.
Chicago-atic.
Screw them.
And, which is, well, you say that, but they have big armies and they have people to feed and they got stuff. It would just be, it would be a hassle.
Yeah. Well,
and
hopefully
so studying the ocean is one valuable way to spend your days.
And what do you think about space exploration versus the ocean exploration?
Well, you gotta
I know
do
you
both.
Can do both.
You
but
gotta
I mean,
do both.
You're into both of it.
Absolutely. Because it's all about exploration. So people say to me,
yeah.
Adam, I mean Bill, they
right.
say, hey man, we can't explore space. We have to pay teachers.
Right.
We have to build school. That's right. Okay, but if you're a politician, and I know some of you are, the idea is not to choose between going to a war in on a foreign soil or pay teachers. The choice is not, do we build new schools or visit Mars with a robot? No, you have to do everything at once. That's your job, Mr. Ms. Politician, which you've got to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to exploration, you have to do as much as you can. You see, now let me just tell you.
Mm-hmm.
May 30th. And June 25th, we are sending two rovers to Mars. Are you guys down with this? You all mm-hmm. over this? And they're going to land on Mars in two different places. They're going to screw around in there in what looks to be...
When are they going to land on Mars?
January, February 2004. Punch it, pedal to the metal, all the gunpowder you can get going at once. 7 months to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the orbits are favorable.
Sure.
Sure they are. And so you land in what we believe to be these ancient lakes. If we were to find fossil bacteria... Mm-hmm. in these lakes.
Mm-hmm.
That would change everything.
Why?
Because then people would really have to ask themselves, what does it take to have life?
You just want these creationists to shut the hell up for a change. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
you don't like these Bible-toning retards anymore than we do, right? You just want these... The Earth's 2,000 years old.
That's
you want
real
these
hard.
Tards to
That's
shut up.
It's bad. Yeah. It's bad for business in Kansas a couple of years ago. You know, businesses would not open factories in Kansas because the school board was so wacky.
Yeah.
With regard to creationism.
Yeah. You believe like I believe we give a little too much respect to these tards, right? These religious people. Whether they're Shiite Muslims or born-again Christians, they all need to be told to shut up. No
well, they're very influential.
They're influential on their own fellow tards. But
no, not all right.
Smart people don't believe any of that crap. You're an atheist, right, Bill? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It always strikes me once in a while a smart guy is really into Jesus, and I wonder about that.
Well,
it makes me lose a little respect.
The experience of transcendence can be an important human experience.
Right. Right.
And you don't have to believe or not believe it as a reality. You just have to have the experience.
And by the way,
protect that experience.
Hmm. I'm not going to try to one-up anybody, but I'm a pretty reverent guy.
Yes.
When I look at the world around me, at nature and so on. And what were you talking about earlier? The robot? No, people,
right.
Women and men. It is pretty astonishing.
It is.
Nature is pretty astonishing.
But
worthy of respect.
I always look at that as nature, not as a guy. But you, as a scientist, must love the argument when people go, well, then how did all this get here? If not for one guy in sandals. Like, wow, are you stupid? All right, but let me ask you this,
like
Bill.
Norwegian.
Here's something I was thinking about, too, the other day. I was watching this Discovery Channel or History. I don't know what it was. And they were talking about stealth technology.
A huge fan.
And it is marvelous technology.
Well, it's not that hard. The ideas are not that hard. The execution is quite difficult.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Right. Thanks for that.
You get a plane who has edges that
right.
don't reflect radar back to where it's coming from.
Right. You just
got to coat a surface with stuff that absorbs radar rather than reflects.
You just got to figure out a way to make that object go, you know, 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah. Or 600, subsonic. Yeah.
Carry a bunch of...
ordnance.
A bunch of ordnance. But isn't the...
Crows,
the stealth fighter
we're
supersonic?
Ordnance. Yeah.
I don't think so. Stealth is just below.
Yeah. We'll look into that.
Well, anyway, if you go supersonic in the stealth, you're going to go through a lot of gas. You're going to see the needle move. So, you know, you don't normally fly in that configuration.
All right. Fair enough. But the
exhaust is supersonic.
All right. So here's your point. I was thinking, man, the technology is incredible with this.
Dollars at work.
And then I thought to myself, you know, I've lived in L.A. They've been talking about this bullet train to Vegas. Since I've been in the seventh grade.
Hit me the ball.
Can't we get it? Here's all I'm saying. The technology that's going into the military is absolutely, I mean, we lead the world in this.
Absolutely.
Yet the same crappy RTD bus is lumbering down
the
street.
Vote.
Where's the bullet train?
Vote.
Why aren't we building this bullet train?
You're the same guy the other night was having trouble with the microwaves, right? Yeah.
I want a microwave that can handle tinfoil. Can't you?
No,
Einstein's come up with that already.
Infrared.
30 years of this. Can't you come up with something? You can't come up with this.
No, dude.
No improvements on the microwave oven since 1971.
Well, huge improvements compared to the size.
What, the handle? Power.
The Klystron. Oh,
please.
Much smaller.
So what? So a thing of bean stays in there 10 seconds less. BFD. I want to be able to put foil in that microwave. Now get busy.
And leave, you know, guys like you, vote on Wednesday. Don't buckle your safety belt.
How dare you? I don't vote. All right.
I tell everybody, you got to vote.
What are we?
If you want the bullet train, you got to vote.
What are we going to do about this microwave and the bullet train and my crows?
The crows, you're on your own.
All right, but what are we going to do about the microwave?
I think that's user education. And the bullet train,
what do
you mean
user
support.
Education?
I mean, you're a ditz.
Oh.
Don't put the flipping metal in the microwave.
I want to be able to put a hungry man in there.
No, you look at a radar dish out on your neighbor's porch. Okay, it has holes in it. But what's it made of, anyone? It's made of metal. Because it not only does it conduct electricity, it reflects it.
All right. Okay? I would have said that, but
so it reflects the microwaves, all right? There's nothing we can do. And, of course, often, especially in circular objects like the rim of a bowl, you get a resonance. You get a...
Well, let's call it something else.
Like
but
feedback.
Let's work out a way to heat things that can handle metal that don't involve flame.
Are you one of these guys on the screen here? Buy a bowl without the metal in it.
No.
They sell them.
They don't. And once in a while, you leave the fork in there when you're snowed.
Yeah, of course you do.
That's all I'm saying.
Another problem I don't
get
have.
Get busy.
Yeah.
Stop talking about your theory and get busy on my microwave and my
bullet train.
I want the bullet train.
You got to vote.
Vote for who? Who's running on the bullet train platform?
She'll show up.
Broads don't know anything about
Mary, 18.
I mean, you're a ditz.
Mary?
Yeah?
Hi, what's up?
Nothing.
Thank you for calling the show.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Getting hotter in here.
Can you expand on that, Murray?
What's up, baby doll?
I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
My boyfriend and I have been having sex recently, and he's been coming inside me and not pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you pregnant?
I don't know. I should probably get a test right now, but I smell, like, fishy. And last time I got tested was November 6th. I don't have any STDs. But
you do now. You have something. You have at least a vaginal infection. While it may not be sort of a classical STD, it sounds like something you got contracted from him. It might be something called trichomonas.
He's completely clean, though, also.
How does he know that?
He's been tested.
No. He's not been tested for this. I guarantee you he hasn't.
Are you trying to get pregnant?
Not necessarily. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, you're going to get pregnant.
What's wrong with you? Are you stupid?
No.
You got to be stupid. You're 18. You don't care. Like, sorry. Well, if I get pregnant, I get pregnant. If I don't, I don't.
It's a long story.
I got time.
Well, no, because it happened before, and I had an abortion, and I don't want to have an abortion again.
So wouldn't that be smart, then, to use contraception?
Well, yeah.
By the way, I love when our retarded callers try to corner us with the world's worst logic. Like you're going to go, wanted to get an abortion. I see. Touche. Well,
now you don't want an abortion.
I stand corrected. I apologize. Let's move forward. What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
You're going to get pregnant. You already had an abortion.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Let's just do me a favor. If and when you get pregnant, either have an abortion or give the kid up for adoption.
For adoption, that would be fine. Now, tomorrow when you go to have your pelvic exam so they can find out what kind of infection this is, which it definitely is, and they may actually treat you without an exam. There are creams now that are very simple to clear this up.
Yeah,
you need a pregnancy test, and you need some contraception, all right?
Okay.
All right. But it's an infection. He'll need to be treated, too.
And get some contraception. Serious, please?
Okay.
What's the matter?
Me have an infection. I just got tested. That's the only thing.
It's a vaginal infection.
Do nothing.
Wait a minute.
Who cares? Do nothing. I hope your vagina falls
this
off.
Will not be
and have 1,000 kids. I'll pay for all of
this
them.
Will not be the
now
last.
I don't get my bullet train because I got to pay for all their crappy
this
kids.
This will not be the last vaginitis you get.
My
it's
crows
a common,
on that
common thing. And while it's transmitted back and forth between males and females.
No, what
not
she
a,
cares. She
not
knows
often
she's fine.
Not a classic sexually transmitted
she's fine.
She was crying about the thought of having a vaginal infection, which is nothing. She was
I don't
crying.
Think she was crying.
Yes, she
about,
was.
Was she crying?
Yeah.
I think she was crying about this,
Mary.
Whatever it is with her boyfriend.
Mary?
Yeah?
What are you doing? Are you crying?
No, I'm not crying. I'm laughing. It's kind of hard to believe.
All right.
I told you.
Look, she's a genius. What does she need you for, Drew? Just call the show. Don't listen to Drew and crank out some kids. Have fun in your trailer. Keith?
Hey, fellas.
Idiots. Enough of people. Believe, we gotta start a railroad. That my bullet train. We got to put these idiots to work. You know, my plan is to build a railroad that just circles the entire United States. Doesn't stop anywhere. It just runs into itself. Does nothing but keep idiots busy. Keith?
Yo, what's up?
You're 23?
I am.
What's up?
Yeah, I had a question for Mr. Bill Nye over there.
Yeah.
I'm just a big fan of yours, and I actually used to live in Seattle and watched a really great show called Almost Live.
Oh, yes, those were the days, yes.
Yeah. And I really loved the show. It was the first time I ever saw you. Great, great sketches. And
Thank you.
I just wanted to know if you ever kept in touch with the cast or had
those were
good times for you.
So John Keister is working on my new show. He writes material for it. He's brilliant.
Excellent.
Bob Nelson's submitting material. I mean, he's writing. He's running the show. He's great. He's amazing. The guy is amazing. And I haven't talked to Ross Schaefer for, it's been over a week now. But yeah, I'm in real close touch with Ross, if you remember Ross Schaefer. So John and Bob are still brilliant. They're amazing.
That's
and from
cool.
time, I talked to Nancy Guppy a few months ago. Yeah, everybody's doing great.
It's well,
been doing very well.
Good stuff.
And Steve Wilson, have a coffee with him quite often.
Is there a seventh guy we haven't heard of that you could bring
up? Well, yeah, he and I are bonding. Keith and I are having a little Seattle moment,
yes,
okay?
It's nostalgic.
Keith.
So, yeah, it's good stuff. But Keith, did you call for some other reason?
No, I just wanted to tell you that I dug the show back in
cool.
the day, and you're great.
Well, watch his new show if it gets
turn
picked
it up loud.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, good time. And why wouldn't PBS pick up your new show? Really, with all their competition,
I don't see any reason they wouldn't. But all right, the deal's not done, and we don't.
How's the pay over there at PBS?
No
comment. Is it decent? It's not great. I don't want it to be good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, find out what Huell Hauser's making. You know who that is? PBS. It's the world's. Like Huell Hauser, if he showed up at a party, you'd put an ice pick in his ear like 10 seconds. He'd be he's the most boring guy in the world. He's been on PBS for 30 years.
It is grand and beautiful.
And that's him on like three cappuccinos, too.
That's him describing the grand ballroom.
That's him describing the grand ballroom.
It is
grand
and beautiful.
Yeah. I guess we're lucky you didn't use grand for a second time. Do you watch Huell Hauser?
No.
You don't know the man?
No.
I figured they'd have like a statue of him up in front of PBS.
Maybe they do, but I've never noticed it.
You've not been down to World Headquarters there?
World Headquarters, yeah, on Braddock Road in Virginia. Been there.
Is that?
No evidence of a statue.
Just a lot of lesbians pissed off?
No, it's kind of suburban, kind of strip mall-ical out there.
I went into...
there's a subway stop, though. There's a train stop.
Train.
Kind of a bullet train. Kind of DC's bullet train.
Oh.
How did it get there?
They voted.
They voted for the train.
For,
now you go, hey.
I went into NPR's studios, National Public Radio, a few weeks ago. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
And I thought, where are they getting all this goddamn money? Why do we got to operate
Daniel
out
Midler.
Of this dump? And they have this castle to do their show. It's a shrine to radio. It's 75,000 square feet and state-of-the-art studios. What's going on?
Mm.
Do you understand? Shouldn't we be in a nicer place than NPR? Okay. Drew agrees. Let's talk to...
I'm just thinking all the money from our radio program goes to us.
It does? Not all of it. Please. Really?
Where else is it going?
Well, how much?
Well, Ann's back there.
Westwood One's got to make a lot of money, right?
I guess.
Yeah, they don't put anything back. Elizabeth?
Hi.
You're 30?
Yes.
What's up?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay. I'm kind of actually embarrassed. Okay. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've been sober for 16 months. I have worked. I'm still in the program. I still go to meetings. I've worked the steps with a sponsor.
Right.
And
that works. That works. Listen to her.
Sponsors are so important. Sponsors are so important.
Listen,
okay?
I was saying no sponsor, no treatment. Very simple.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. But here's the situation. For about 2.5 years,
yeah.
I was separated from my husband until recently. We got back together. We got back together in November. We never did get a divorce. He's a very nice guy, a very normal person. He took care of our 6-year-old son for a very long time, obviously, because I wasn't really with it. Since we've gotten
Can I just
back together,
for a second? The way she described that, I'm having trouble understanding what happened. What do you mean you're 6 years old and he's currently 6 years old?
My son is currently 6.
And he, through most of his life, has been under the care of his dad?
Yes.
Okay.
16 months ago, he was under the care of his dad.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I can't focus because of the oppressive heat in here. My brain is boiling in its own juices. Anderson, can you turn you can't turn the air conditioning on because it ironically freezes up every time you turn it on.
And then catches fire.
Good. Burn this hellhole down?
Stick with.
They don't trust me with it anymore. There's like a code.
Just turn it on, please. Turn it on. If it catches on fire,
it doesn't. There's a locker. It doesn't work.
I don't know the code.
We can't do it anymore. So, Elizabeth, finish up. Here we go. So,
okay.
You're back with your husband.
Yes, we're back together. And, you know, when I was drinking, and I did use some too, but alcohol was my drug of choice, I acted out a lot sexually.
Mm.
And now I don't. The only problem that we have right now, really, you know, we've worked on a lot of stuff, is that I just don't feel like I'm getting the sex that I want. And I don't know if maybe I'm still trying to act out that way.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, he's 30 years old, you know. I know Adam is weird, but, you know, most 30-year-old guys, they're starting to go down and they're sick.
No.
Not really.
No.
Not really?
No.
Oh, no, ma'am.
No.
No.
Okay.
47, though, man, it's over.
Oh, yeah. Forget it. One foot in the grave.
You ever see that guy, the coyote, and he goes over the cliff?
Wile E. Coyote?
Puff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking up from there. That's what I'm looking at.
You're holding a sign up.
Yeah.
Elizabeth.
My sign was a long time ago. It was two or three frames ago.
Elizabeth.
Yes.
You think your husband is paying you back a little bit? Like
sometimes. Yeah.
Here's what I think.
Maybe withholding a little bit.
Are you a trauma survivor?
You know what? I feel like I should be. I can't remember anything in my
life. But you're behaving like one, right?
I behave like one.
Are you working on? Are you going to therapist in addition to your sponsor?
No. I have like a group session thingy, but I don't see anybody one-on-one.
Right, you might want to look into that because there might be something here. Either you are still sort of acting out a remnant of your disease. Which is, in order to be sexual, that's a sort of disavowed, shamed aspect of yourself that you can only connect with in a highly arousing and non-intimate situation.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's therapy time, if that's what's happening.
That's very true.
And okay? Also, too, guys get a little freaked out when they feel nutty coming at their penis.
Well, the problem is not their husband. The problem is her.
No, I know that, but I'm saying he will shut down even more when he feels that nutty energy coming at him.
Yeah, that's true.
See, and I see that happening.
God damn it.
What?
The other possibility here.
Just tell her what you got to tell her. We got to go to break. I got to dip my head in the goddamn toilet. It's 90 degrees in this dump.
Hades. But listen, so
Bill's coming undone over here.
So, oh my God, his bow tie flipped.
Bow tie's just gonna take his underpants off.
There should have been a sound effect. Like,
I mean, you're a ditz.
There should have been a doyoying sound when the bow tie came off.
Just tell her what you got
to
tell her.
Listen, she confirmed the fact that for her to be sexual is a shaming experience, and she can't be intimate and sexual. These are disavowed aspects of self that if she's going to reintegrate again with, she's going to need therapy, or the other possibility, she has grown in sobriety, her husband has not, and it is expressing itself in their intimate relationship now because she has grown into a different person in the process of recovery. He has not kept up with that growth, and that can feel pretty funny when you try to.
I think it's the former. I think she's off the booze, but she still has the remnants.
She's got some stuff going on.
She's freaking him out. And he may be paying her back a little bit for being so permissive.
It's all surface stuff, yeah.
Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is here. He's down to his wife beater and boxer shorts. I can see a sock garter. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is here. Bill, you should stop by on a more regular basis.
Why, I'd love to.
Yeah, I mean, if something happens, fill us in on what's going on. We got those probes going to Mars.
Yeah, it's cool. It's going to be quite a thing. And it's the cost of a fancy cup of coffee per taxpayer.
Oh, really?
$350 million. It is but nothing.
Yeah.
And so, no, really, I mean, compared to the way, like, for example, the way we spend money on this war, it's a drop in the proverbial bucket.
Yeah.
And so if we discover what we don't know, people say, why are you going to go to Mars? What are you going to discover? We don't know. That's why we're going. It's a new horizon.
Right.
And if we discover...
Didn't we get something onto Mars?
Well, we have a couple things.
Yeah.
Three things.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. There's nothing there.
Well, the Viking,
they found this thing that might have been a bacteria.
Oh, man. ALH84001. Yeah. It's this meteorite that has these little patterns in it that may be fossil bacteria. I'm not talking about fossil dinosaur, ancient dinosaurs. I'm talking about bacteria.
So what would it... Let's just say the probe went up there and it did find some fossil bacteria.
That would be astonishing.
What would it mean?
Well, you ever heard of panspermia? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, rented that.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. Had that guy.
Ron Jeremy was in it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was terrific. It was really
panspermia.
A little overproduced, but
yes.
So the idea is that life started on Mars. Mm-hmm. Primordial Mars had more favorable conditions. It had a better atmosphere. The premise, not asserting this, it is not beyond the pale.
Right.
Had better atmosphere, this and that, had liquid water. Life starts on Mars. 3 billion years ago, gets hit by a meteorite.
Mm-hmm.
Comes spiraling
or a
into
comet,
the sun.
Maybe, right?
Comet, yeah. Interspace something rocky thing smashed into planetism gizmo. Comes hurtling around in orbit. The orbit decays, gets sucked in by the Earth's gravity. Here it is, lands on the Earth. It's still got the DNA cell kind of life going on it, like a virus can survive.
Right.
And you freeze dried in space, comes back, and we're all here. Like we started as Martians.
So not
beyond the pale.
So
really life is a super accident because...
Yeah, that's right. It makes it just beyond astonishing. Then furthermore, how do you find something from Mars? Well, sure, you go to Antarctica. Most things that land on the Earth from Mars, from this primordial collision, fall where?
In the ocean.
You don't see them. They go to the bottom of the ocean. Very hard to find. But when they land in Antarctica, they land on this icy surface, and they are dark rocks. I mean, it's this simple.
Easier.
So guys walking around Antarctica, they go to this place, an area called the Budget Space Probe. It's an area where the ice is ablated. Oh, yeah. It's burned off by the wind, and it exposes these rocks. And there they are, and they pick them up. They look at the shock patterns in the rock under a microscope. It looks just like the Martian smash. And you crack them open, you get atmosphere that is just Martian. It's Martian atmosphere.
What about the possibility that was all the rage a few years ago of something large hitting this planet? And
oh, man.
It might have been Mars.
We would be looking for those just a little more aggressively than we are now.
We're not doing what we can do.
Yeah, well, we could do a little more. Now, this is, when I say a little more, I'd like to spend, let us say, for example, 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
30 years. In the background, keep an eye on rocks in space. There's a Star Trek, sure, very good premise. Lame movies.
Sure.
But the premise
great
is
great conventions, right,
well,
Bill?
Well,
fantastic.
They are when you're young.
All right.
Yeah, they are when you're young. And then this looking for rocks in space, they could kill us all. And this gets back to, there is no question, the ancient dinosaurs were taken out by rocks from space.
How big a single rock would it take? I mean, it doesn't have to be that large.
No, 10 kilometers, 3-something
miles, 7,000
miles.
No, 6 miles.
6 miles. 7 miles.
A rock that landed and would cover a space that was 6 miles.
No, it made a crater 350 nautical miles. It made the Gulf of Mexico, basically.
But what I'm saying is a rock the size of 6 miles across,
mm-hmm.
if it hit this planet.
Going that fast.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it wasn't just dropped off a folding table.
Yeah, a highway.
If it hits this planet at that speed, devastation?
Oh, yeah, apparently, yeah.
And so is there a way to...
Oh, yeah. So you played hockey.
We have to knock it. We have to knock the puck
when you're out there.
The
out there, if you tap it at the blue line,
right?
Then it'll miss the goal, right?
What do we tap it with?
There's debate about that, but a nuclear weapon. You send it out there, a weapon, nuclear instrument.
Right.
You send it out there, you get it real close to the planet's surface, you set it off, and then the debris from the planet will have momentum going the other way and nudge the rock off course.
Debris from the planet. So we don't fire it into the planet?
Split the thing open. You do that in the movies. You split it open in the movies.
Well, in the movie, Bruce Willis lands on whatever's coming this way.
Yeah.
And then tunnels into it and sets the nuclear device.
No need.
We can just fire a nuclear rocket.
Kinetic kill, as we say. KKV, kinetic kill vehicle.
Right. So this technology is in place to some degree.
After a fashion, yeah. But to shoot something to land on Mars, landing on an ellipse 50 kilometers long takes 8-10 years of planning.
Well, how far out?
It doesn't always get there.
How far out do we need to hit it?
Well, that's the question. There you go. Now, let's spend a few million a year.
We don't care if it lands on Mexico. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah, you do. Mexico would take you out. Yeah, nowhere on earth is any good.
About this, then. France? Come on.
Oh, France. No. Yeah.
Even that's bad.
2 miles across.
I'd say the chunk the size of the forearm.
No, because it screws up. Apparently, it screws up the whole world. I mean, these dinosaurs, the ancient dinosaurs, just they couldn't get through it. And all kinds of sea creatures. Whack! You can see it in the fossil record.
So they think the Gulf of Mexico was.
Oh no! It's almost that area. The Gulf of Mexico is subsequent, but made much later. But that's where it is in Chicxulub, Mexico.
So
off Belize, where the Gulf of Mexico is now.
Get great weed for great coke.
It's bad for
you.
Yeah. It's bad. Both of them.
All right. So you think
meteorite's bad?
You
too.
Think we should be focusing a little bit more on
just
something
a little
big
bit.
Hitting it?
We have a few programs, but I think we need to. If you're asking me, and I got the impression you were,
yeah,
we need to consolidate a little bit more. Look a little more aggressively.
These are things I want to think about next time I get stoned.
I need the bullet train.
Next time you do mushrooms.
Yeah.
Bullet train and asteroids. That's what you need to think about.
Yeah. And let me ask this.
That's just the A's and the B's.
How much advance warning if this was to happen, something big was heading for this planet?
Well, let's say, for example,
tomorrow.
To get to Mars,
right.
7 months. So let's say we saw an asteroid outside the orbit of the moon, maybe a couple months, 2 months.
Before we thought it would impact on
this planet. Yeah. And you just got to give it a
Just have to just kiss it just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to knock
if it's
it,
headed for
just
sure
to knock
this
it
way.
Into France.
And notice that it's a little complicated. It's not only a hockey puck skidding through space.
The goal's moving.
The goal's moving, and the goal has suction. The Earth has gravity.
We're sucking
help
it in.
Suck the bad boy in here, yeah.
All right.
Or bad girl.
All right. So we'd have a few months if they spotted something.
2 months, yeah. And you got to be ready. That's the thing of it. You can hyphenate that, the thing of it.
What size do these things normally come in?
Oh, all sizes.
Yeah.
Do you have a pair of binoculars?
Yeah, I do.
Look at the moon.
I'm looking at my
Some
neighbor.
Of those things are hundreds of nautical miles across.
Some
thousands.
Of the craters.
Yeah.
I see.
And so you ever been to Meteor Crater, Arizona?
Oh, no.
I tell everybody who's got a chance, it's north of Phoenix a little ways, a little over an hour. You go there and you look at this thing and you realize it was made by a meteorite. And the meteorite there, 100 meters across, football field across, and this thing is a mile wide.
Yeah.
Wham! And you can see the rays, so-called, of rocks splattered out just like dropping mud into a sandbox.
And so the idea basically is the sort of horrible ideas. It doesn't take much. They're traveling at the speed
that it
is.
No, because they're going, 11 kilometers a second. They're going pretty fast.
Let me ask one last question, and we'll go to break. And I know we didn't talk to any screwed-up teens, but I got to entertain myself every once
sure
in a while
do.
On this show.
Sure you do.
And Drew, too, right, Drew?
Sure.
Okay. If something, you said it took us, it's going to take us 7 months to get to Mars.
That's punching it.
That's punching it.
Pedal to the metal.
Is what we're sending to Mars going the same speed as what's heading toward us?
Not quite. Let's see. It's comparable.
How much do things vary in space in terms of speed?
Well,
I mean, once you get outside the atmosphere, is everything traveling about the same
speed?
No,
just there's an old, elegant calculation that things that drift in space fall into the Earth at about 11 kilometers a second, at least.
How many miles an hour is that?
What is that? That's
15
miles a second. Miles an hour, multiply that by 3,600. Yeah. You get into some big numbers and do 7,000, 8,000, 12,000 miles an hour.
Right, but the thing we're sending to Mars, how fast is that going?
That's what you got me, and I'd have to stop and think because I used to know that number, and now
okay.
And it's in the New York Times today, and here I am caught, burned.
Yeah, I told you, Mr. Smart Guy over
doesn't
here
doesn't even know the maximum speed of the Mars probe. Doggone
it! Give me a break, buddy.
Come on, get your head in the game, Nye. Let's go.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break.
Keep on, the Wiki's
no
goodbye.
Calls this segment.
Who cares?
All right,
I like the science guys here. All I want to know about the imminent destruction of the planet.
I'm interested
in a couple to some 14-year-old with syphilis from Idaho. Please,
hey,
I got
nice
bigger fish to fry.
Idaho.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bill Nye, the science guy, is here tonight. He just stepped outside, glanced into the sky, and said there's something the size of Texas that's coming toward us. So we really
time to go.
Yeah, time. We got to go.
Just got to give it. Particularly, you know, if it's real thin.
My whole thing is, I know you science guys are looking years in the future. I figure out I'm going to kick off about 71, 72, and whatever happens after
that's
nothing. Fine by me. Fine by me.
Wow. Can I have your car?
Yeah. Yeah.
Carza.
Okay, thank you. What do you drive? One of those electric cars?
Yeah.
You and Ed Begley?
Yeah.
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 Really?
Yes. Yeah. EV1. It's cool as heck.
Good
tech. It's a jewel.
Yeah.
It's visionary.
It's a pussy magnet, too, right?
Sure it is.
Chicks love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love a car with no sound.
Well, it's 0 to 50 in 2.8.
No.
Yeah. Outperform a motorcycle. 0 to 50.
No. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Let me
go to the website,
this.
Dude.
Yeah, it's close. I know. I've said to
not
Drew,
0 to 60. 0 to 50.
I know. I've said to Drew a time and again that the electric motors.
What's it all about?
Torque
it's all
gear.
About torque.
Yeah.
Torque it's all about
gear.
Torque.
And they
zero RPM maximum torque.
They do pull hard, but the car does 0 to 60 in the
Mazda Miata
in the mid sevens.
Beats a Miata. Yeah.
In the mid sevens.
Yeah.
How come so long from 50 to 60?
Oh, that's
60?
A great question. That's an excellent question. But you. As the engine's motor speed goes up, you lose your torque.
Yeah,
so
but is it that
many
great?
Many people have... Yeah, yeah, it's there
I,
it is. Many people
have
proposed
question.
Adding a second gear to the EB1, which would greatly increase its performance, but it's not really an issue. The thing goes
I question,
150.
I question.
If you want.
I question you on the 2.8 0 to 50.
One test is worth 1,000 expert opinions.
I question you, my friend.
Lead on.
Look into this. Someone get on a website. Find out what the 0 to 50 is.
GMEV1.com.
Terry?
Yes.
Terry.
Yes.
Terry with the crows.
Yes, hey,
Seems like a line.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's
try that again.
The static that the Texas-sized meteor is coming to.
Yeah, you know, cell phones are just great technology.
There we
What's
are
up ama-
there,
amazing
Terry?
Technology.
Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, we had a crow when I was about 15 years old, and they are the smartest, meanest birds you could ever have.
You had a pet crow?
My dad rescued one.
Sounds like it kind of had you.
It had my dad.
He rescued a crow. Was it full-grown when he rescued it?
Yeah, it was full grown. It had a broken wing or dislocated shoulder or something, so it couldn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned it up. It shined up nicely.
Sure.
And we had
that crow polish?
Yeah, you know, nice and black. We had two dobies, and as soon as my dad would take it out of the cage, it would chase the dobies out of the house.
Wow.
I mean, they're mean.
Yeah, they are.
And
hence
was
Drew's
it,
vision.
Was it smart? Not Drew's.
Adam's.
Adams, it's a blur.
My vision was for the logo.
That's right, yeah.
Crosshairs.
Yeah.
That's right. And Terry, now how was the crow?
Crow Response Operative Workhorse Systems.
Crow. So, like I said, people do the acronym that is what the thing is. It seems like a waste of time. But Terry, how was it smart, though, the crow?
You know, when I was 15, my dad would have a hard time getting me up. He'd send the crow in there.
And that would get you up.
Now that's what a crow is good for.
So have you been abused? Is that
a lazy
out here?
15-year-old son you got?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got issues.
Your son's beating off. You send in the crow. Go get that worm.
That'll scare you.
All right, Terry. So you're behind me. 100%
He's backing it up.
On this idea.
He's giving me some validation on this.
This was just one crow. I couldn't imagine a flock of crows, and this crow couldn't fly. So man, you got to be real careful.
You would run like hell if 10 crows were swooping
down
would. On you. All right. Jessica.
Yes.
You're 20. What's up?
Well, I have a quick question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
When I was 17, I had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm 20. And I want to get pregnant, but it's so hard for me.
Why?
And I was on the shot for about a year.
Yeah. When did that...
ago.
You've been off it a year?
Yeah, I've been off it for a year.
You'll get pregnant. Don't worry.
But I can tell by your accent you're going to get pregnant very soon. What...
Well, you need a man.
She's panicking a little bit. She's over the hill.
Yeah.
20.
Are you Mexican?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're considered an old maid at 20, not being pregnant. What's up? Are you married?
No, I'm going to get married till next year.
So wait till next year. You get pregnant. Don't worry about it.
Give it a little time. You can get pregnant.
You know what? But it's weird because before I used to get I didn't get my period for a whole year.
That's why you're on the shot. It's supposed to work that way.
Well, after the shot, I didn't start. The last time I took my shot was on March of last year.
Uh-huh.
And then I started getting my period again during January.
This year.
This year. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but about six months to a year.
1 week yes, and I would get it another week no. So right. 1 week yes, 1 week no for a month. And now I don't even get it at all again.
All right. Go. Have you talked to the doctor about it?
Yes, I have, but they just tell me, it's because of the shot. It's because of the shot. I've been checked like 20 million times.
It will restart again for sure. If you are super anxious to get it going, there are hormones they can use to try to kickstart it, but it will start up again.
I don't want to use no nothing.
All right, then it will start. Then relax. It'll start
up. Except for a double negative. Hey.
No nothing?
Yeah.
Don't want to use no nothing.
Just listen, I don't want anyone raising kids who don't want to use no nothing.
I mean, not yet, you know what I mean? Like,
You're fine. Jessica, relax.
Right.
It's going to be fine.
You're going to get married. You'll be fine. You'll have some kids. What's your husband do?
He's a truck driver.
There you go. All right. Slow down. Get your finances in order. Get that career going. Then you have those kids. It'll be better in the long run. All right?
She's okay. Glazed over.
All right, baby doll.
What'd you say?
Yeah.
Huh? That impulse of folks, and somehow it seems like the ones that are a little less in the brain department want to have the more kids at an earlier age. It's not a great thing in terms of a species. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be problems down the road. The Bill Nyes of the world will be few and far between. Lindsay?
Yeah?
Thank God. You're 23.
Yeah.
What's up?
A couple of weeks ago on the show, you were talking about how if you lost your virginity after high school, you were sort of screwed up for life.
No, never said that.
Never said anything like that. People, they hear things through the prism of their own sort of sensitivity about their own experience.
I'm going to go way out on a limb here and
say she got pregnant at 22.
Lindsay may have lost her virginity after high school.
Yes.
No. Adam was saying that if you lost your virginity later...
Yeah, which is you, right?
No, it's actually not. It's my boyfriend.
The boyfriend. All right. Ooh, well, that is a little wacky.
He'll be fine.
Bill lost it when he was 29.
How did you hear about that?
It's all over the internet, Bill. Hey,
But you seem to have a whole theory about it.
Okay, well, let me explain this. And this is exactly what I said before. There are people who keep their virginity for various reasons.
Yeah.
And
many of them very good.
Many very good. Some not as good. Some because they're a little screwed up. Mm-hmm. They have a little trouble with intimacy or they were traumatized or
right.
what have you.
That's right.
So if you remain a virgin into your 20s and it's for the good reasons, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if it's for the bad reasons, there's usually something there.
Right.
How old was your boyfriend?
He was 21.
That's fine. And why did he remain a virgin until 21?
He's gay.
Drew, please.
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I mean, I sort of think like he was sort of small.
Yeah, well, some guys have a little trouble just sort of with their game.
Right.
And it doesn't come together until a little bit later in life.
Does he function sexually normally now?
Yeah, he seems... I don't know. I guess I don't know exactly what that would mean either.
Well, what is your question?
Well, the path I'm going down is there can be things like prolactin secreting tumors and thyroid conditions and things that can really affect male sexual drive.
Like crows will fix those.
And the crows will go after it.
No, I think it's sort of like neurotic Jewish New York.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. That's screwed up.
All right. His mom browbeat him for too long and then scared to pull his pants down. This is what happens.
He'll take his
Jewish
job.
Kids think their mom's going to steal their penis.
I'll let him have it.
And give it to Elijah. Is that part of the Passover thing?
Yeah, it goes in the wine cup.
We put this penis on the chair so Elijah can sit on it.
The youngest child's, yes. Males, right. Youngest child's penis.
Leave the door open, rub some bitter herbs on it. Yeah. Yeah, Jews are all neurotic because their moms are nuts and their dads are pussies and they don't step in and straighten out the moms. This is why Jews are all nuts.
You want to be ashamed of yourself.
Jews have crazy neurotic moms and pussy dads. And the dads don't step in and go, hey, bitch, shut up.
Where did the Green Beret guys come from?
Those.
They had Green Beret dads.
Those are the Israelis.
Oh, I see.
They're scary.
Okay.
They're scary. I'm talking about the North American domesticated Jew, Drew.
Domestic.
That's good. Domestic. It's really good.
Oh, yes.
Hit me with another one here.
We're taking a break. Lindsay, this guy, he's fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right. Hey, everybody. God bless Bill Nye.
God bless him.
Smart. He's got the look. He's intelligent. Stimulating. Fascinating. Bill, you come back to the show
anytime.
That
was great, man, you guys. It was just great.
When the show does get picked up by PBS.
Any minute.
And hits the air, you come back and give it a big plug. And, of course, Drew will be on it at that point. And Drew's going to be in one of the earlier
episodes. Yeah, he'll be in the first six.
All right.
So will you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's
lucky you.
Right. Lucky me. So, I want to thank Bill Maher again. Bill Nye.
Whoa, man. Whoa. They both went to Cornell.
Yeah, I think it's
that's right, Bill Nye.
He's a despicable asshole.
And please, Drew, the mic's still hot.
Unusual guy.
So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Hey, man, we can't explore space. We have to pay teachers.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.